Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from 1 Kings 18. I read one verse as text verse for the sermon. First Kings 18, verse 21. We read God's holy, infallible word as follows. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The theme for the sermon is God or Baal. 3 points of attention. The first point, the gathering. The second point, the testimony. And the third point, two altars. So the theme is God or Baal. 3 points, the gathering, the testimony, and two altars. Congregation, you probably all know the history. It's very well known. You even might have seen pictures of this history in the time of church reformation, how Luther was standing there one day before the most mighty man of the world, especially before Charles V, at the Diet of Worms. He, a young monk, standing before those mighty men. A lot of people watching this situation. Great tension there. What would this man answer? What would he say? What would happen now? And the question was asked if he would recant the writings that he had written. And in that silence, he answered, Only if I'm convinced by Scripture that are errors, mistakes, heresies in it. Here I stand, I can do no other. One man, for the most mighty person of the world, mighty rulers, they wanted him to give in and they wanted to keep unity in the church, Roman Catholic Church. He couldn't, because he was standing before God, before the living God. That's a deep secret. That's power of the awareness of the reality of the presence of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. You understand that? That was the situation with Elijah. He was standing before that mighty King Ahab. He was alone. And he was confronting this king with his sins. And he was a real troublemaker because he had led the people in idolatry. Turned people away from God. He and his wife Jezebel to serve Baal. To serve the idols instead of the living God who had delivered his people out of Egypt. What can one man do? Prophet? No arms? No army? What can he do? It's impossible. You better hide yourself, Elijah. You better do not speak. This is dangerous. They're angry. They're going to kill you. They will not listen to you. But Elijah is not silent. He is speaking. He has to, because he is a prophet. He is sent by the Lord. He has to speak the words of God. There's no way that he could be silent. He is under the authority of God. And here is the secret of his authority. This man is living so close to God that he is much more aware of the presence of God, the might of God, the authority of God, than of what Ahab could do. There's much more fear of the Lord in his heart than fear of man. He's standing free there, although he's alone. And his adversaries are many. But he has authority. You can tell that when we read his history. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. That's what Elijah is saying. Is he speaking to a servant or something? No, he is speaking to Ahab, the king, who accused him to be a troublemaker. But his answer was, I did not trouble Israel. I have not troubled them, but thou and thy father's house, forsaking the commandments of the Lord. So he just had spoken, and in following Baal. Now therefore send. How would Ahab do that? He might first consult his wife. She might stop him. No. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel, 450, and another 400 false prophets that were with Jezebel. He's gathering the prophets, Mount Carmel, and all the children of Israel, all the people. So what is the secret of this authority? Why would a king listen to a prophet? A prophet about whom he feels this is a troublemaker. He's brought all this misery in the land. Look around. It's all burned, brown, gray, dead, dust, no grass, no food. People are suffering, cattle starving, people die. It's all because of what this man has spoken, Elijah. He had spoken 3.5 years ago that there would be no rain or dew except for his word. And now here it happened. Why would he listen to this prophet? Yeah, that's the question. He didn't listen before. At least, he didn't repent. He didn't convert from the idolatry that he had led the people in. But there had been 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? Burning sun, no rain, everything dying, except maybe close to a river or a brook. So hard to get food that even the king went out to find something for his horses so that he wouldn't lose all his horses and chariots and power. It was the only thing he trusted in. Now here is that man. He had looked for him everywhere, sent to all nations and people to find him. And when they told him or his servants that Elijah was not there, they had to swear to speak an oath that Elijah was not there. He really wanted to get him. And now here he is. Would he listen to this prophet? Probably not. Well, he did. And what is the secret? Well, think about all those years. At first, he might have laughed when Elijah said, well, there will be no rain except for my word. Well, we had a lot of rain last year. For many years, we had rain and fertility. What would you do, Elijah? You think you could change that? But there was no rain. Month after month. Year after year. You can imagine the influence of this situation. How God was busy to chasten his people so that their heart might be humbled. that they might repent about their sins, that their pride might be broken, that the hardness of their heart would be taken away, and they might return to the living God. All those months, those years, the sun burning above them, people getting less and less food, more and more struggling, more and more in need. Would there be rain tomorrow, another night, another day, and no rain day after day? We can see that that had an influence. The Lord knows how to bring people at a spot where He wants them to be. He is the Almighty God and in control of everything. And our heart can be very hard and is by nature. But He has all the power. He can humble hearts and people. And He does not do this because He enjoys in the suffering of people. He's rejoicing in the suffering of people, but because He wants them to return. He doesn't want them to perish, to be ruined and destroyed forever because of forsaking the living God. And so, yeah, here is this man, and really it happened what he had spoken. And they have seen it for 3.5 years. So God gave authority to His servant, to the prophet, and Ahab listened. His resistance had been broken so much that he did do what Elijah spoke. He badly needed rain so that there would be food for man and animal. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel. God can change any heart, really. He has so many ways to do that. He is the Almighty God. He can incline hearts in so many different ways. Don't be discouraged when you see hardness of heart, maybe of relatives. Maybe you discover the hardness of your own heart, that you would confess it before the Lord. Maybe you're struggling with that. Oh Lord, my heart is so cold and hard and dead. Well, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Confess it before God. You say, I don't even have a desire to do that. Well, tell it to the Lord. Pray and speak to the Lord and confess, admit that you don't even have a desire, but that you know you need to, that He would work a desire in your heart, that He would soften your heart, incline your heart. He really does it. I've experienced that many times. I've seen it many times. There's so many that can witness about this in this world. God is the Almighty God. He is in control of all things. So Ahab has to obey. Ahab sent all unto all the children. God gave authority to His servant, to Elijah. The word of the Lord came with authority. There is power in the word of God. And God is giving those that has to speak the word authority to speak it with His authority. So Ahab sent unto all the children, there they come, and the prophets. And Elijah came unto all the people. He's going to speak. He's going to speak in an honest way. This is how we know Elijah. Straight forward. All at a sudden, there he is. He wouldn't be silent. He would speak. When Ahab killed Naboth to get his vineyard, and he was walking in a vineyard and enjoying it. Oh, this is mine. And all of a sudden the prophet was there. And right away he spoke to him about his sin and the punishment of the Lord. This is how we know Elijah. He wouldn't soften the truth, change, twist the truth, but speak in the name of the Lord. He's going to speak to the people so that the truth would set them free, that they would obey the word of God, that their hearts would be changed. And Elijah came unto all the people. Here's going to be a testimony from the prophet, the servant of the Lord. And remember, here Elijah is standing. He's alone. He's also telling the people that he is alone. I only remain a prophet of the Lord. Well, yes, there were 100 prophets of the Lord hidden by Obadiah in two caves. But here in this public situation, he is the only prophet of the Lord. And 450 prophets of Baal. And another 400 false prophets. That's the situation. You could say two groups. 850 false prophets speaking in a way that the king liked, to please the king, to please the people. And one man called by God to speak. Only one. And at Mount Carmel, there in the north of the land, of the country, near the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. There they are. They all came. They wanted to know what this prophet would say. They had experienced the drought, the lack of food. Oh, what would happen now? There was that question in their eyes. You could hear them talk about it when they gathered to come to the Mount Carmel. And now is that great moment that a prophet is going to speak. What will Elijah say? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." So here are the two opinions. And they're halting between the two. Is the Lord Jehovah God? Or is Baal God? And they, with one foot, they stood on the one opinion, and with the other on the other. And it's such a hard position. It's like a person standing with his two legs in two different boats. It's very unstable, very dangerous. How long? That's the question that Elijah is asking them. How long halt ye between two opinions? It's clear, nobody has to ask what he means. They all could understand this. So they have to answer. Here's a question. And the question needs to be answered. But there is no answer. And the people answered him not a word. They were silent. They didn't speak. Well, that's exactly an illustration of what they were doing. They wanted to keep both opinions. And Elijah says, that is impossible. There has to be a clear choice in your heart. They cannot come to that point. Well, why not? Why are they not speaking? Why are they continuing to hold between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. So what Elijah is saying here, it is impossible that two can have the supreme affection of your heart. Only one master can have the supreme affection of your heart. So who of the two? Is it Baal or the Lord Jehovah, the God of Israel? Well, we would say this is not a difficult question. They had seen all the works the Lord had done. At least they've heard about it. It was written in the Word of God how the Lord had delivered his people from Egypt. And God has given his testimony in his Word. Had given his law. God had given them the promised land. So this is not hard, is it? Why would they hold between those two opinions? Well, yeah. That is true what you say about Jehovah, the God of Israel. You've heard all these words. and he has his service in our midst. He made his covenant. We do have the service of the sacrifice of the Lord. Yeah, we do have the temple of the Lord. At least in Jerusalem there is a temple of the Lord. Yeah, Baal. Yeah, what about the service of Baal? Well, it's so attractive to us. It's so nice. Those carved images. You can see something. You get a great experience when you come there. It's visible. You can physically see that image of the God. And yeah, it's something that the people around us do, the Gentiles. So we want to be like other people. You've seen it there, and it attracts us. It's nice. Yeah, it's nice for the flesh. It is the carnal way of religion, to live by emotion and not to live by faith in the invisible God and His commandments. And so there they are, halting between two opinions. And that's something we can recognize, isn't it? That's something we understand, isn't it? They didn't want to quit with the service of the Lord. No, they continued to serve Jehovah. At the same time, they had their high places where they served Baal. Why would we not? You can manage to do both. And that's probably the best, you know. We don't want to quit to serve the Lord, at least to sacrifice there. That's what our fathers have done. And so we just continue with that. Yeah. You know, Baal. Look, there are 450 prophets. That's a lot. Would it be nothing in that service? And yeah, we really like it. And there are another 400. And the king is giving the example. And so, yeah, we see it in other people. And they are mighty and powerful. There they are. They have all kind of reasons to continue with both. They cannot really make a choice. And it happens so much in this world. It happens so much in society, in our nation, in our churches, that people behave this way. Yes, I believe in God. If you ask that, you're going to church? Yeah, I did. I'm not as faithful as I used to, but I'm a believer. That's what you hear many times. I should go more regularly. And even if people go regularly, well, let's talk about ourselves. We regularly attend church. But we learn from this history that we cannot serve two masters. It cannot be that the both have the supreme affection of our hearts. So this morning there's really the question, God or Baal? Baal, the idol, the God, this world. And it can be in many ways, many different ways. The things we like by nature, by the flesh. The things that are trying to get a position in our hearts that's most important, instead of that God has that position. The things that want to be the first in our life. And things that we are so inclined to find our delight in, instead of in God. So this history is about us. Let's not look to other people. Let's think about our own life. Let me think about my life and you about yours. Is there something of that halting in your life? Between God and... Well, you can complete. You can finish a sentence. But what is it in your life? Something that is giving delight to your heart instead of faith in God. Something that you find security in. Something that has your heart. that you really seek after. Well, that can be honor in this world, high position, can be power of the world. You want to be respected, a position of power and authority is most important to you. Well, that's the opposite of the Word. The Word says it's most important that we are humble. It's most blessed if we have real humility in our hearts before God. It can be the love of money, because money can grant us so much pleasure and so much power, and people respect us. And it can be that people think we are successful or see we are successful in this world. That's most important. And all these things are a lie. They are not most important. Your soul is most important. And your soul can only be saved by Christ. And so He has to be the delight of your heart. And otherwise you walk in the way of the lie and not of the truth. Even although you tell yourself that you're following the truth and faithful to the truth. If your heart is more dedicated to anything else than to the Lord, you're caught in a lie. You are in a most dangerous position, like a person standing with each leg in a different boat. It's most unstable and dangerous. And soon or later, you will drown. You will perish. So how long? How long do you plan to continue between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, follow him. If anything in this world can give you real security, can save you, can satisfy your soul, can help you in the hour of death, well, follow it. So ask yourself the question, can money? No, it cannot. Can the pleasure of sin, alcohol, or whatever, help me in the hour of death, even through the Jordan of death? No, it cannot. It is nothing. It is powerless, like Baal is powerless. That is proved in those 3.5 years. Baal, the god of storm, thunder, and rain, fertility, he couldn't do anything. And so it is with anything in this world. You say, my heart is so connected to that thing. It really has the affection of my heart. Oh, how can it be changed? I tried to change it. Impossible. I'm totally powerless to overcome that attraction of Baal, of this thing in the world, this pleasure, this secret sin, this bottom sin in my life. I'm glad you are aware of the impossibility that you yourself would conquer that attraction. You cannot by yourself, I know. And that's why God has given His Word, to show you the way that Christ came into this world to deliver. The people couldn't deliver themselves out of Egypt, out of slavery. But God sent His servant, Moses, to do it. And he did it. It happened by His power. So there's hope for you. You that are weak and powerless in yourself. Because Christ has spoken unto me, He's given all power. So here it starts, that you acknowledge before the Lord, Lord, this is how I am. My heart is so corrupt, depraved, perverted, that I'm so caught in sin. Try to change it. I fall back in it every time. I sin and I know it's wrong. I don't know how to change it. That's the first thing, to acknowledge that your misery before God, your helplessness, to lay at His feet, to acknowledge that He is right, that you deserve His condemnation, but that you would also look unto what the Word is saying, what the Word is revealing, that Christ was hanging there upon the cross to take the condemnation. That there would be your hope. There you lay in your weakness, your impossibility, your guilt, your condemnation. And there is Christ who was crucified, who was condemned, accused, so that you could be set free. He took the condemnation. And that there would be your hope, your expectation, your security. He is God. And so, that by faith, that peace will fill your heart. That there's nothing in you, but everything in Him. And then He is working in your heart by His Spirit. And He will change what you couldn't change. And that will be a lifelong warfare. You will experience His power, His strength. And His love will fill your heart in such a way that you will be amazed how it is inclined to the things that you didn't like before, the things of the Lord, and how you see more and more how empty sin is and start to abhor sin and your sinful nature. This is the way of salvation, from the sight of the Lord, by faith, and not by power, not by your own strength or your own goodness or righteousness. So, what is the choice of your heart? How long would you halt between the two opinions? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 2:32, stanza 1 through 3. 2:32, stanza 1. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to His people He will speak. 2:32, stanza 1 through 3.
Thank you.
The probably congregation cannot imagine that position of Elijah standing there in that great tension. This was about life and death. Really, like we could see after the Lord showed himself, those prophets of Baal were killed. They would certainly kill Elijah. But it wouldn't be seen that God is the living God. The Lord is the living God. And here he is standing alone. People so inclined to follow the majority, to be in the group, to be together. But to have faith means that we are willing and helped to stand alone. That's hard. That's work of the Lord, if we have that grace that we can stand alone and speak the words of the Lord, give a testimony about God even there. The people wouldn't support. The people answered him not a word. Probably make us very uncertain. Speaking to people, asking them a question, giving a witness, testimony. They just watch you and speak. What are they thinking now? Well, we do know what they think. They're halting between two opinions. But Elijah is looking to the Lord. There is the secret of being able to stand alone. He is the one, like he started to speak to Ahab, that he is standing before the living God. Yeah, he's also man. We will see that afterwards. That great pressure is upon him. And so now it's going to happen. And then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let him therefore give us two bullocks. Let him choose one bullock, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. So he says, well, let's put it on the test. Give us two bullocks to sacrifice. And, okay, you can go first. You are many. You outnumber me far, so you go first. You choose the bullock you want, the best one. You build an altar, put wood on it, no fire. And then the God who will bring fire from heaven, he will be God. And so that's what happens. And the people agree about it. All the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So what can we learn from this testimony and this situation, that two altars are going to be built, and how Elijah is behaving in it? We can see clearly that he has faith in God. He is behaving, he's doing this by faith. So he's not in a hurry to get the best, so that he has the best chance to win. I want the best bullock, and probably I will be accepted. No, that's not a way of faith. To trust God, to know that he is the only and living God, that he is in control. So let him go first. And there should be no fire. And afterwards he would put water over it, to make it very clear to the people that God is the living God. So this is faith, that you can wait for the Lord. He had been waiting those 3.5 years. It must have been hard. Almost no companionship, to be alone, but he was with the Lord. And is that not also part of the secret, that he had been those years so close with the Lord? That power was there now at this moment, this great climax that he had been waiting for 3.5 years. Now it's going to be seen. It's about the glory of God. It's about that the people will be saved from their destruction, their sin. And so they agree. Well, the whole people are seeing this is right. This is a good test to see the truth. And the prophets of Baal, well, they want to be first, yes. They took the bullock, so it was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal. So they prepared a sacrifice, an altar, and they start to pray. They pray. They pray. They cry. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They jumped against it, and they cried for hours and hours. Can you see that? Can you see that happening there on the mountain? All the people watching, and those 450 prophets crying, praying, leaping on the altar. Nothing happens. It's such a powerful illustration about how in vain everything is outside of the service of the true God. Even every religion, it all looked the same. Those two altars probably were pretty much the same, and the sacrifices were the same, and those 450 prophets, they pray, they cry, they're very busy with it, they give all their energy, they persist for hours and hours in their religion. So, yeah, religion can be very active, can be pretty much similar if you look at it at the outside. But the difference is there's no answer. There's no result. There's no fire from heaven. And that was the test. If there would be fire from heaven. And then we remember what John the Baptist said about the ministry of Christ. When he was preaching, he said, well, the one that is coming after me, he will not, I baptize with water, but he will baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 3 verse 11. And that is the test. And that is the difference between all other religion and the true religion. And God is answering by sending fire from heaven to accept the sacrifice. So that's the test. The fire of the Holy Spirit is received in our hearts to consume sin. If the fire of the Holy Spirit is received in our hearts, so that there will be faith to see that it was the fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was hanging there. There was the fire of God of his wrath, and it consumed the Son of God so that I could be delivered. He took the punishment. There's the truth. There was the fire of God's wrath. So that God is sending the fire of his Spirit in the hearts of people that pray and that receive the Holy Spirit in the hearts. Here is a test. Here is a difference. Is there an answer? We might not even be able to tell from the outward appearance the difference. But we will know if there is an answer received in our hearts. So, what is the problem? Why is there no answer? 450, they have an altar, they have a sacrifice, they cry, they pray. Yeah, they pray to a god according to their own imagination, Baal, to their own the desire of their own heart. And the real problem is that they do not submit to the living God, the God of Israel. to his word, to his commandments, they have turned away from the living God. So they did everything except to submit, to bow under the one true God, and there's no answer. There's no answer. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud! He's God, either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey, peradventure he sleepeth. Must be awake." He's making them ridiculous. Is that right? Yeah, it's right, because it is ridiculous to reveal them how foolish and stupid it is what they do. So here we see what people do, try to find an answer, security, help outside of the one true God and the only way in Christ. They do a lot. Oh, people do a lot. They lay everything on the altar to get what they want for their flesh. We see it everywhere in this world. People sacrifice their health, their time, their body to get what the heart desires, their natural hearts. Isn't it foolish? There's no answer. There's no real result. They lose everything. And yeah, it's right, if we could show it to them, what they are doing. Oh, they spent all their energy. They're even starting to cut themselves with knives. They want to do anything. That's the zeal of the flesh in the world or in false religion. But there's no answer. They cried aloud and cut themselves after a manner with knives and lancers till the blood gushed out upon them. They do so much because they do not see what God has done. They do not rest in the work of the Lord. That is how we can see false religion, that you think you have to move the Lord. You have to do things to please him in such a way that he will be inclined to hear. If you do enough, if you pray loud enough and long enough, if you leap from the altar, if you sacrifice enough, if you suffer enough, if you cut yourself, if you bring enough sacrifices, if you work enough, then you might be saved. That's the way it works. And it doesn't work. And we will see later the way of grace. Elijah rested in the Lord, just speaking this simple prayer from his heart, in confidence, after this clear testimony, putting it all on the test, giving it all to the Lord, expecting it only from God. And he was answered. You see the difference? Saved by faith, resting in God, in Christ, in his work, or work yourself to a position that you might be acceptable, and it really does not work. You can work yourself to death, and you will not get it, because only Christ has done and could do what is needed for the salvation of our souls. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. It's all in vain. He tried till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." Yes, they were gone far away from the Lord. They have to return to God. And to his servant, "Come near unto me." You have to see this, so that you will be convinced. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Here is a time of reformation. Oh, we need it in our lives, in our families, time and again, in our churches, in our nation. that the altar will be repaired, that is broken down in so many ways. If a church wants to be reformed, it has to reform all the time, because it's always the inclination and our heart is always prone to wander away in our own ways. So here is a servant of God, and he is repairing the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Oh, that would happen in our days. That would happen in our denomination, in our nation, in our congregation, in our family, in our life. Let's not be proud and think, well, that's not needed for me. It's needed for you and for me. We all have that heart that is halting too much between two opinions, that God would receive it all, so that fire from heaven will fill our hearts, the Holy Spirit, and that all sin will be consumed, that God will be God in our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray, Thou would work powerfully, that Thou would bring us near, that we would hear Thy voice, that we would see it. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. That the spirit of Elijah would be seen, like John the Baptist would come, did come, in the spirit of Elijah, not trying to please people, but pleasing God, speaking the truth, revealing corruption and sin, and pointing to the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, who came to take sin upon Himself. Lord, bless this ministry everywhere of law and gospel, of sin and grace. People will be cut off from that old root of Adam and be in Christ, engrafted in Him, to bear fruit out of Him, to His glory. Lord, bless Thy word. Forgive everything was not good in speaking and listening. Be with us this day, a day of rest. Bless the Bible study this afternoon. Bring us together this evening in Thy house. Lord, we pray, oh, work powerfully. Bring fire from heaven in our hearts, that we will be set on fire for Christ, because He was in the fire of the wrath, that we would be delivered, and His sacrifice is sufficient. Lord, teach us to pray in the spirit of Elijah, with that confidence and trust, looking unto that one sacrifice in the Lord Jesus. Hear us, O Lord. Thy name will be hallowed, will be praised and honored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.